As important as it is to recognize potential investment properties, to really be successful as a real estate investor using the principles I teach, you must be able to locate flexible sellers. Consider this. In any given real estate market, approximately 80 to 85% of the sellers are pretty firm on their asking prices and terms and are not willing to negotiate very much on either one. That means that approximately 15 to 20%, and in some areas I believe as much as 30%, of the sellers in the marketplace are flexible, many of them because they really don't want the properties they currently own. Keep in mind that when you're looking for flexible sellers, a seller who is not flexible today may become so in the future, maybe even tomorrow or next week. Sellers are people, and just like everyone else, their emotions, their needs, their wants, their desires, their situations are constantly changing. The more you meet and deal with potential sellers, the more attuned you're going to be to how situations can change and how you can take advantage of the changes. Flexible sellers are those who are willing to negotiate on price or terms, or sometimes even both. You'll find it easiest to buy property by working only with flexible sellers. Now keep in mind that flexible sellers are not always down and out. Now, sometimes even very wealthy property owners can be flexible sellers, depending on their situations. Situations that produce flexible sellers include, divorce, job transfer, an estate sale, declining neighborhoods, unemployment, absentee ownership, property management problems, tenant problems, and emotional dissatisfaction with the property. Finding flexible sellers is not always easy. It takes persistence and creativity to find the flexible seller that matches your requirements. Sometimes, even sellers who are not flexible can be made flexible by offering a higher price for their properties in return for more favorable terms. If you can purchase their property this way, you produce a win-win transaction that really helps both of you. Now, one of the ways to find flexible sellers is to look at the classified section of your local newspaper. Other resources include public records at the county courthouse, banks, real estate agents, and even you as you drive around. The Internet, too, can be an excellent resource for finding flexible sellers and for reviewing public records. When you search the newspaper for real estate ads, pay close attention to how the ads are worded. Just the wording of the ads often identifies flexible sellers. For example, I once saw an ad that read, "Out-of-town seller must sell vacant house by 6 p.m. Sunday. I'll be at the property located at 103 Elm Street Saturday and Sunday between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. Make offers." Does that sound flexible? Another ad I once saw read, "Seller desperate. I'll trade my property for anything that doesn't eat." Well, while these examples are very blatant indications that the seller is flexible, most wording clues are a lot more subtle. For example, any ad that you see that says, "for sale or lease option," indicates a flexible seller because the ad actually tells you that if you don't want to purchase the property outright, the seller will consider a lease purchase option. The wording also implies that the seller might be anxious to sell, which is to your advantage when you're negotiating terms. Other advertising clues might be, "we'll take property and trade," and or multiple phone numbers in the ad, which might indicate that the seller has already occupied another property and needs to sell the advertised property as quickly as possible. Two, an out-of-state area code might indicate an absentee owner who would be very anxious to sell. Instead of actively searching for sellers, it's sometimes better to help the sellers find you. Again, your local newspaper can come to your aid in this regard. You can place an ad in the classified ad section stating that you're interested in finding a property with flexible financing. Something as simple as a business card can open many doors, too. You might also consider creating a flyer. Finally, you might want to consider developing an internet homepage that highlights your interest as an investor who is always looking for properties with flexible sellers. If you do, you should add some references or samples of previous properties that you've purchased. Many of my students attest to the fact that placing ads in newspapers is a very effective method of attracting sellers. Rather than spending time going through the real estate classified ad section looking for flexible sellers, you can place your own ad in the newspaper and attract them to you. This method of informing the public that you're a real estate investor can be an effective and low-cost way to solicit responses. When you're writing an ad, be careful not to appear too slick. I mean, such ads can have a negative effect on the reader because they appear to be from someone who might take advantage of anyone that responds. When someone responds to your ad, you'll probably be asked, "What do you mean by flexible seller?" When someone responds to your ad, you'll probably be asked, "What do you mean by flexible financing?" Don't ever attempt to explain what this means over the telephone. Just say that it depends on the situation and then move directly on to pre-qualifying the seller and the property over the phone using the techniques I describe in this course. Business cards are great for finding flexible sellers because they tell the world about the nature of your business or profession. Most people who are self-employed or who work for a company have a business card. Business cards are great because they tell the world about the nature of your business or profession. They're also inexpensive. You can have a card printed that says, "I buy real estate," or "I'm a real estate investor," or "I buy and sell houses." Business cards help create a professional image. In addition to announcing that you buy real estate, your card might include, "I also have houses for sale or lease." Also consider adding, "I am not a real estate broker," or "I am a private investor." If you don't add this fact, people might not contact you because they might assume that you're a broker and they'd have to pay a commission for buying or leasing property through you. Don't be bashful about using your cards. Your success as a real estate investor largely depends upon how well you succeed in letting the world know that you're in business. Pass them out to the merchants with whom you do business. For example, your service station attendant, druggist, grocery store employees, hairdresser, barber, dry cleaner, your mail carrier. In fact, you should make a list of all the business and service people you come in contact with on a daily or weekly basis and make it a point of getting your business card to everyone on that list. You might be surprised at how many people that is. Make a habit of handing your card out at garage sales because frequently they're held by people who are thinking about moving. Give your card to insurance company representatives, your local clergy, and personnel offices at local industries. After giving someone you meet a card that says, "I buy real estate," you can ask them, "Do you have any property for sale, or do you know anyone who does?" Even if people don't have a property to sell at the moment, they'll remember you and possibly contact you later when they do have some property to sell. As I said earlier, this is not a needle in the haystack. 2 out of every 3 people you talk to are either going to be buying, selling, or leasing real estate, or know someone who is. Another way to distribute your business cards is to place them on bulletin boards in supermarkets or discount stores. These high-volume stores have an enormous amount of traffic, and anything placed on the store's bulletin boards will receive a lot of exposure. You can also use flyers very much like business cards. They're better, though, for blanketing an area because they allow you the opportunity to include more information and an eye-catching design. A sketch of a home or a clever design in a full-size sheet of paper can be a dramatic way to introduce yourself as an investor. An art student in a local high school or college could help you design a flyer that is, well, that's uniquely yours. You can pass out flyers door-to-door or place a stack of flyers in local retail stores so that customers can help themselves. Check local ordinances before you do this, though, because some communities require a permit to do this. One of my students once had a flyer printed on heavy paper stock, cut a hole in the top, and made doorknob hangers. Finally, keep in mind that using flyers puts you back in the numbers game. If you pass out 1,000 flyers, you may get 15 or 20 calls. Look at 3 or 4 specific properties and buy one. Okay, let's recap the material I've covered in this audio chapter. When evaluating whether or not a property is attractive, you should take into consideration 2 things, the property itself and the willingness of the seller to be flexible when it comes to financing and or price. And remember, not all sellers are flexible, and finding them is a numbers game. If you call 25, you might make offers on 5 properties and end up buying only 1. That's why you have to make as many contacts as you can. There are many different types of properties that you can invest in, including vacant land, commercial property, residential properties like single-family homes and apartments, and distressed properties. Vacant land is not a good investment in general, but the other types can be if you know what to look for before you buy. When you search for an investment property, you should take into account the property's price, the neighborhood, rent rates, and any features that might make it fill a so-called hole in the marketplace. In the case of single-family homes, your best bet is to focus on properties that are somewhere between inexpensive and moderately expensive because they make up a big part of the market and they can produce handsome profits. You should never buy what seems like the right home when it's located in the wrong neighborhood, or the wrong home even if it's in the right neighborhood. If you're purchasing a home as income property, you need to make sure that the neighborhood rent rates will make the property easy to rent. And finally, you should look for properties that fill holes in the marketplace. That is, homes that don't exist in great numbers, but for which the demand is high. To find properties, you should make use of the many sources of information that are available to you, like newspapers and the internet, and even your car as you drive neighborhoods. When it comes to finding flexible sellers, you can either search for them or get them to search for you. In both cases, your local newspaper and the internet provide tremendous opportunities to do this. Business cards and flyers are effective, too. The more you know about the marketplace, the more likely you are to find properties that offer investment potential. If you're working, you have a limited amount of time to spend looking for a house or investment property, so it's important to spend that time wisely and productively. Concentrate on the 15 to 20% of the sellers that will be potentially flexible on their price or terms or both for the greatest return in your expenditure of time.